And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location in support of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Watch me dance, dance the night away. My heart could be burning, but you won't see it on my face.
Hello, British Columbia, from the Cowichan Valley to the Thompson Valley and all 20 cities across the province, listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, we are on location at Three Sisters Winery on the edge of the Naramata Bench. Our hosts are Colin Ross. He's the GM of Type Rope Winery. And BJ Tumonet, she's the GM of Joie Farm here, and they're both board members of the Naramata Bench Association. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you. You guys live the life here, living on the bench. That seems to me like that's everybody's dream in BC, to live on the Naramata Bench.
I think it must be. Look at the weather and the scenery. It's so beautiful up here.
Yeah, and there's no work to be done. Just
no.
No.
This sort of sit happens. Around, drink rosé. And
it happens on its own.
Yeah. It's a fantastic site. It's so great to have you. Let's talk a little bit about the bench because it's grown a lot over the last couple of decades. How many people are operating here now? Maybe we'll start with you, Colin.
Sure. We have 50 producers on the bench between wineries, distilleries, and breweries.
Yeah.
With 24 members of the bench association.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Do they all get along?
Absolutely. Do you know what? Well, I will say one of the silver linings I think that's come over the past few years of having to pull back a little bit is it's opened up a space and a time for us to start working together. And I think you're really going to see that this season.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. I know that, I've done a lot of traveling around the world, and it's always the regions that pull together that have the most fun, and they become the most recognized, too, because the strength is in the numbers and the diversity of the people. So it would be great if that's happening on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's start with the bench. People come here. Can they stay on the bench?
Absolutely.
How are we doing for accommodations these days?
So good. You know, we have a wide variety of accommodations on the Naramata Bench. So if you're bringing a family or if you'd like things more casual, there are vacation rentals.
Yeah.
Find something by the beach, maybe. Rent a paddleboard. Get out there with the kids.
Yeah.
And then we have bed and breakfast, the same kind of idea. And then we have inns. We have the Naramata Inn. We have motels. But we also have retreat and resorts.
Yeah.
So literally, I don't want to be cliche, but we do have something for everybody here on the bench.
Yeah.
If it's just yourself, all the way, you can bring your whole crew, your whole tribe.
Yeah, and it's a short jaunt in from town. There's a number of hotels in Penticton, too, so it's like a five-minute drive up to the bench, but so many different places. The village of Naramata is a special place to explore, too.
It is. I mean, again, I don't want to sound cliche, but I think when you use the words charming and you use the word magic, the Naramata village, to me, it ticks all of those boxes. This is just what it is. And magic is kind of a funny word. It's not really something that you can point to, but you also can't deny it when you're in Naramata. It's all around you, wherever you look.
Colin Ross and BJ Tumonet, they're both here with us today from the Naramata Bench Association. Colin, if you would describe the bench, what's going on here wine-wise, how would you describe it? If you say Napa's all about Cabernet Sauvignon, what's the bench all about here?
I think the bench is all about our terroir and really what comes of that, which is wines with the great, fresh, crisp acidity, some nice firm tannins, and really a tremendous amount of phenolic ripeness. So you get a lot of different complex flavors in the grapes around here.
Yeah.
I think varieties that really showcase that include Pinot Gris, Riesling, Pinot Noir, and Cabernet Franc, among a few others.
Yeah, winning varieties for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so good. And BJ, another thing that's going on, and I've noticed just in this trip, quite a big uptick in choices of food, places to eat, and even I've seen some collaboration already between people. What's going on with the food scene?
You know, you are speaking my language. I mean, of course, I heart wine, definitely, but the food is, it's very, very dear to my heart. So we have an interesting thing happening on the bench right now. We have quite a few high-level chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, you know, you have a couple here and a couple here. Now, I mean, they're everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So you really can't lose if you're looking for a place to eat on the Naramata Bench. I know, like you said, that there's been a lot of collaboration. There will continue to be events going on throughout the season. Some of them will be featured in the restaurants that they call home, but also they'll be visiting different wineries, doing long table dinners, doing winemakers dinners, things like that. So I would say keep your eyes, maybe keep your eyes on Instagram, follow us, follow the Naramata Bench Winery Association. We call it NBWA for short. Now you can see why.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on our website. We'll have all of those events listed there.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Just before we do, of course, everybody's talking about the winter and what's happened around the valley. The bench looks relatively unscathed.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate here where we have some good elevation off the lake. We're sort of center valley, so we didn't get the extreme cold of the north. The cold air kind of drops down into the lake. So we found the very, very minimal winter damage here on the bench. So we're hoping for a great harvest. And it looks so far, based on the growth we're seeing, that everything will be great.
Yeah, it looks good. Okay, well, we're on the bench today. We're not going to go away too far. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to come back and talk to you later in the show about all things on the Naramata Bench. That was Colin Ross and BJ Tumonet for the Naramata Bench Association. We're coming to you from Three Sisters Winery. Up next is Matthew Mikulik, co-owner and winemaker of Three Sisters Winery. Our show is created weekly at BNN Bloomberg Radio, 1410 in downtown Vancouver, and is available on the radio or on demand across all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Our On Location today is presented in part by the Naramata Bench Wineries Association.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Cowichan is one of the province's key regions for winemaking, and they're making some really vibrant Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays, and it's getting better and better every day. How many wineries are there in the Cowichan?
Yeah, that's right. Cowichan is home to 14 wineries. It was designated as an official wine region. This is because of Cowichan's warm, Mediterranean-like climate, the rich, fertile soil, and just the passion of the local winemakers. Many of the wineries are family-owned and operated. Cowichan also features a handful of cideries, distilleries, and breweries.
Well, I've been watching the region for some time, and I think for those who don't know it, the explosion of wineries and growth is something to be seen. And of course, for people who want to get up there, they should start planning their tour.
Yeah, I'd recommend spending multiple days in the region and just enjoying the unhurried pace. There are a handful of hotels, plenty of B&Bs and vacation rentals. And if you want to leave the planning to someone else, I would recommend taking a guided winery tour with one of our local tour operators.
A lot of people love to visit wine regions like the Cowichan during the harvest. What major events happen annually that visitors can look forward to?
Well, the annual Cowichan Valley Wine Festival will be happening this year over the month of August. It's a great opportunity to enjoy award-winning wines, experience the vineyards, and meet the winemakers in person. This October, we have the annual Cider Harvest Festival at Marydale Cidery and Distillery. This event features over 15 BC cideries, and they also have the annual Craft Spirit Festival in November, which brings in over 10 of BC's top craft distillers.
Mm. Well, it's one of BC's premier wine and spirit-producing regions, and it's fair to say that there are plenty of opportunities for those who like to have the odd drink or two in the Cowichan. Thanks for sharing, Kenzie.
You're very welcome.
Hey, make your plans to visit the Cowichan Valley at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santa Rita. like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after four decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location in support of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Shout out to Penticton and all other 19 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today we're on location at Three Sisters Winery on the Narrabana Bench, and our guest is Matthew Mikulik. He's the co-owner of and winemaker of Three Sisters Winery. Matt, great to meet you.
Hey, well, nice to meet you too. Thanks for coming.
We've been having a great chat. You've been all over the world.
I have.
That's fantastic to have so much experience.
Well, yeah, you learn everything as you go. And
just name a few places that you've been making wine in.
Croatia, Bosnia, Herzegovina. I've been in Austria. I've been in California, Argentina, Chile, also in Australia.
Wow.
And then here, Niagara as well.
And you picked the Naramata Bench to settle down in.
It just picked me, I think. It's hard to leave once you come here.
Yeah. It's the first time we've talked to you. Maybe tell our listeners a little bit about Three Sisters, what you're all about here and what the goal is.
Yeah, so Three Sisters was just like, it just kind of happened. We were talking earlier, but my wife and I both been in the wine industry for quite a while before we met. Her being on the sales and marketing side and me on the winemaking and growing mm-hmm. side. We got together, started a little winery here. Her being one of three sisters, me having three sisters, we decided to name it Three Sisters. We're just trying to make this place, you know, it's like a really, we call it like laid back luxury because we're approachable. We want people to come here and enjoy the view and enjoy the wines and not feel, you know, uncomfortable at all when they're tasting. You know, we want it to feel like our kitchen table. We want it to be sophisticated yet also a very relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah, very comfortable. And it is that just sitting here. You're at the entrance really to the bench on what I would call the big S turn that takes up to the bench. Easy to find. You'll see the three sisters. You'll see the heads. I don't know whose heads they are, but there are three of them there.
Yeah. Nobody's in particular.
Okay, well, we'll leave that one where it is.
Yeah.
So I don't want to run out of time. So what about the wines? What are you making here? What are you focused on?
Okay, well, we do have a sister company with Earl Cove Vineyards that farms almost 400 acres in the valley, and that was Rebecca's father's company to start. So when I got here, that was already established, and there was so many different varieties. So when I jumped in, it was like, oh, there's a plot of Tempranillo, there's a plot of Pinot Noir, there's a plot of Pinot Auxois. So I only wanted to make five wines, two reds, a rosé, and two whites, but it's turned into about 18 or 21 different SKUs. So what I really try to do is just pick that. When we get that fruit, whatever it is, just make the wine that best suits it for that vintage.
Right? Right.
So it's always changing. Our Viognier changes every year from a barrel age to a stainless steel to a combination of the two. Same with our Chardonnay. So it's just trying to make really, really fresh, energetic, I call them energetic, but like lively wines that you want to drink kind of young.
Wines full of energy. I like that. Yeah. And speaking of that, we're going to try this 2022 Sauvignon Blanc, which is really full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a classic sort of gooseberry and passion fruit nose.
Absolutely. Grown here on the Naramata Bench. The fruit all comes from the Naramata Bench. Great, stainless
so
steel.
So crisp and fresh.
Nice acid, refreshing. We always try and we have such wonderful natural acid in the grapes here. I don't want to take away from that.
Yeah, not mess with that. Yeah. Is it easy to grow grapes here on the Naramata bench, say, versus anywhere else?
You know, this year really proved the worth of the Naramata bench because the rest of the valley kind of got hit pretty hard with some winter damage.
Yeah.
But being with the proximity to the lake here, Naramata, our properties in Naramata were the least affected. So it's a wonderful place to grow grapes, live, make wine, everything. I'm really, I'm starting to become a bigger and bigger proponent of the Naramata bench.
Yeah, well, it looks good compared to some other spots this year, which is fortunate for those people here. Well, that is really a delicious wine under screw cap, and I think well, this wine will keep well for maybe 3 to 5 years, no problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really good. What would you have with this?
What would I have with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, what would you serve with that?
Man, I think it's a summer barbecue, you know, something, even those grilled vegetables, something like that. It'll hold up to it, but it'll provide the acidity. And
yeah, maybe some grilled prawns or whatever,
exactly.
Some seafood.
A little bit of butter, too, something like that. The fatness will cut through it. So
I love your label. I love the way you've done this label.
Thank you.
It just looks very arty.
Yeah, you got to give props to my wife for all the
she does all
the presentations. So what's in the bottle, we could talk about. What's outside of the bottle, that's all her.
Okay. well, we should say what your wife's name, otherwise she's going to be mad at us.
Rebecca.
Yeah, Nicola. Rebecca, there you go. Okay, you also brought along a red wine, one of my favorite varieties, and I think a variety that's used to be underrated, but I think people are really turning to it in B.C. So this is a Cabernet Franc.
Yep.
Where is it from?
So we do, this is all over the valley a little bit. We have a property in Oliver, right just south of the town of Oliver. And then we have a few properties. We have some growing on site here. And then on Old Maiden Road, we get a lot of Cab Franc too. So the combination of the three, we tinker with all three just to bring the wine together in the end.
Yeah. How would you describe this wine? Maybe people probably know more about Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot, but where do you fit Cabernet Franc in that stream?
Well, I think ideally it's just like a little upgrade from Pinot Noir in that sense. I'm not trying to make a big Saint Emilion style.
Right.
Cab Franc, I want to make that Loire.
You want a red fruit style.
Exactly. Something that's nice and fresh and can drink through the summer months and also has enough body to get you through the winter as well. So it's a year round, but mine is meant to be drank a little bit younger with food, with company, and just trying to elevate it a little bit more than say a Pinot Noir. You know, a bit more color, a bit more structure, but still nice light fruit, good acidity.
But not a big bruising Cabernet Sauvignon with high tannins.
Yeah, I just feel like these are the wines that suit this region best. In some cases, it depends on the plot or where your grapes are actually grown. But for what I get, this is what I'm trying to get after.
Yeah. Okay, I'm speaking with Matthew Mikulik. He's a co-owner here and winemaker at Three Sisters Winery. What can people expect when they come here? I know you said it's kind of a laid-back.
Yeah.
What happens when people come and visit? What can they do?
Yeah, so we have a little event space in the back, picnic area. You can come and have a bite to eat. We usually have food trucks, and then there's some games. You can play, you know, the camping Jenga, and there's a putting thing up there. You can come, bring your kids, have fun. There's popsicles. We want people to come and just enjoy the view, the sunshine, the view of the lakes.
Yeah, just hang out.
The atmosphere, yeah, and then drink some good wine while you're here, too.
Wow, that sounds like fun to me. And do you have a wine club, or how can people order your wines?
Well, through our website at threesisterswinery.com, but we did just start, our tasting room manager was hounding us to get a wine club for so long, but we had always sold out of our wine, which is good because we've consistently grown.
That's always good.
Yeah. Right, it's nothing, it's knock on wood, but so we finally started a wine club this year. We've shipped out our first spring shipments, and then we'll have another one in the fall.
Oh wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, no.
So you're enjoying the Naramata bench. You miss Croatia, but you might not go back too soon, or you don't have time to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always a constant discussion with, well, we have two small kids now, or just to get into school, it's been tough to get back there, but it's a passion project over there as well, and I think there's like the Naramata bench or Okanagan, it's even though the grapes have been growing there for 2,000 years, it's had its infancy in its markability and its stage, so the wines are excellent, different style.
Yeah. Matt, great to catch up with you. Just before we go, are you open every day of the week, or how does it work?
Yeah, we're open 7 days a week from 11 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, so when you're not making wine, you say hello. Do you say hello to the guests when you can?
I try to get up here, but they want me. they want the place to themselves.
They don't need you up here.
But I always appreciate anybody who comes up and has a glass of wine with me.
Right on. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Great. That was Matt Mikulik. He's the co-owner and winemaker of Three Sisters Winery. We're coming to you from Three Sisters Winery on the Naramata Bench. Up next, Lindsay O'Rourke, winemaker, and Graham O'Rourke, viticulturalist, co-owners of Tightrope Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
More to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Our On Location today is presented in part by the Naramata Bench Wineries Association.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this summer. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of the almost 100 area wineries. Bask in the beautiful South Okanagan sunshine with a summer wine tasting and find your new favorite wine. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants and enjoy patio season too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
It ain't easy being number one, and it ain't too modest either. Indulge in your next tomahawk steak at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery, voted Kelowna's second best steak and second best fine dining establishment. We hate to brag, but that's an awful lot of modesty. Book your table now at www.modestbutcher.com. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See ya today.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Plan your family road trip this summer to Penticton. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and make sure to mark your calendar and then head for Peach Fest August 9th to 13th. 5 days of free family fun, including parades, live music, entertainment, carnival rides, sports, delicious food, and more. Penticton is the ideal destination for a summer getaway with the whole family. Before you go, make sure to check the website for lots more upcoming events at visitpenticton.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location in support of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout-out to Vancouver and all other 19 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, we're on location at Three Sisters Winery at the edge of the Naramata Bench. Our guest is Lindsay O'Rourke, co-owner and winemaker of Tightrope Winery. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you here. It's fun to be on the Naramata Bench. Is it everything you thought it would be here?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's absolutely stunning at the moment. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, and a great place to make wine, I think.
It is. It's kind of a Goldilocks kind of place, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome that way.
How many years have you been making wine here now?
I came to the Okanagan originally 2003 to start their winemaking journey. Finished school in 2006 from Lincoln University, and then I've been making wine in the Valley ever since. So.
Yeah. Was it good at Lincoln? Like, that was a cool climate school, I guess, in New Zealand?
Yeah, it was. It was really good that way in that it was a cool climate school and that they did a lot of varieties that we do here, and it focuses on cool climate viticulture, which is great. Which I have to say, though, is in the Okanagan, comparatively, our winters are quite a bit
cooler
than New Zealand. So there's that factor in there, which you kind of, you know, you learn a lot from apple growers and things like that in this valley.
Well, I'm very hopeful that at some time we'll have a true cool climate school in BC that reflects, you know, how cold it can be here and how cool it is. And speaking of cool, like, you can pretty much grow anything you want in Naramata. What do you think does really well in Naramata, in your estimation?
So, yeah, that's what I mean about the Goldilocks thing. You can do some of the bigger red varieties like Syrah, Cab Franc, even Cab Sauv if you have the right location. But then you can do some of the more cool climate things like Riesling and Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of microclimates on the bench because of the undulating terrain. So that lets you pick your proper sites for those different varieties. And then, and that's why they do well here. So
you have a partnership. Your husband is a viticulturalist. He grows the grapes, you make the wine.
That's right.
Is he any good as a viticulturalist?
He's great. Yeah, he makes my job easy.
Yeah.
He does a great job growing grapes, so it makes my job easy.
And you guys are big in sustainability.
That's right, yeah.
You've got that going now. It seems to be exploding, actually, across the valley now, that the notion that we need to farm that way.
Yeah, I think that notion's always been there, but now with the sustainable wine growing BC, it actually gives people something to look at and know that the wineries have been certified. They've gone through a program and all of their practices have been looked at and that they can say they are sustainable and they're following those practices. So I think that's a huge step.
Okay, well, you brought a couple of wines. I want to get to them so we don't run out of time, but maybe we can talk about the way that you make wines as we discuss the wine. So we'll start with the 2022 Viognier.
That's right, yeah.
From Tightrope, okay.
Yeah, this comes from our Fleet Road Vineyard, which is our where the winery is. That's on Fleet Road. And it's a small block, about a half acre, and it's a southwest-facing slope right next to a cliff, so it's a really nice warm spot. So that's where we get a lot of the really nice ripe flavors in the Viognier there. It's almost more on the warm side. And these one, I'm usually very a hands-off winemaker and don't interfere a lot. The Viognier is one where I do a bit more just because it's 100% barrel fermented, and we use French oak and acacia barrels as well. Mm-hmm. And it spends about 3 months in barrel. So,
well, when you taste it, you don't notice the oak at all, which is fantastic. Like,
I just
love the freshness in the back end of this wine because they're always pretty upfront, you know, a lot of floral and perfume can be. But I like it when they end the way this one ends because it makes me want to go back and have another sip.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, well, that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
We're kind of on the edge of where you can ripen Viognier well. So we still get really nice acidity, but then you'll get all those lovely floral notes and some of the more stone fruit notes in there as
Pretty delicious. Under screw cap, easy to open and to approach. How long would you keep a wine like this?
Viognier is not the longest aging wine. Those lovely fruit floral characters don't tend to last long, so I would say 2 years along that line.
Yeah. So you got to drink it up, folks.
Yeah, drink it while it's good.
Yeah. And buying wine at Tightrope, is it an online thing, a winery thing? Can you find them in the city? How does it work?
All three of those, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, this Viognier actually is a very small lot. Like I said, it's a small amount, so you can only get it at the winery or through our wine club. So you have to come and visit us if you want some.
Well, I'm going to just have another sip, but while I do, let's move to the next wine.
Yeah, so I also brought our 2021 Rubus Pinot Noir, and it's called Rubus because it's the Rubus family vineyard, which is another small vineyard. I have about an acre and a half of Pinot Noir, and it's right on Gamet Road, which is, if people know the bench, that's the turn down to Lake Breeze. So it's just on Naramata Road and
Gamet. So it's below the road.
That's right. It's a
below the road wine.
Below the road Pinot, yeah.
Yeah. Which means, well, for people who may not know, it means it comes from a terroir that was underwater. at some point.
That's right. It's the old lake bed.
Yeah. A few million years ago.
Right, yeah. Back in the last ice age, so yeah.
You have fun making Pinot? Like, people say it's tough, but...
Well, like I said, my husband's a good grape grower, so that's half the battle right there. Pinot can be, can get rot. It can be a bit finicky, but he's a good grape grower, so that definitely helps. And I do enjoy making it because it really does show the terroir of where it comes from. We have another Pinot Noir, Fleet Road Pinot, and that comes from our winery site as well. And the two wines are made exactly the same. They're just destemmed into small ferments, wild ferment, 30% new French oak, 10 months in barrel, but they're very different wines. And it's interesting to see the differences between the two. This one is on the lighter, more elegant style, whereas our Fleet Road Pinot is more of a deeper, richer Pinot. So it's kind of fun seeing the differences, even though the winemaking is almost exactly the same.
This is another really delicious wine. Like, I just love the style of your wines. There's so much in them, but they don't knock you out either. Mm-hmm. That's what I really like about them. So they really over-deliver. I want to know about at the end of the season, the growing season. So are you in the vineyard with your husband to make a pick decision, or is it just you that decides, or how does that work? Does he come home and say, you better take him today, or I'm not?
Yes, but that's because he wants to go hunting. So, yeah, so I always have to,
hold on.
I have to hold my ground and be like, no, not quite ready, not quite ready. And then, finally it's time to go. So, yeah, the final decision is up to me. But, of course, he... As some say, he might let me know.
Was it a super hard thing to do? Like, I think when I start in the business, of course, I don't make wine, but I have gone in the vineyard and taste the grapes, and I find it really difficult to say pick today or pick tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel pretty comfortable now? You know exactly, or is it really every year is another story?
Well, every year is a little bit different, but there's certain things you look for that I've learned over time. As you really want to get in the vineyard and start tasting before they're ripe so that you can see the progression. So not only am I looking for, say color, but I'm looking for concentrations of flavors, and certain flavors. And that's kind of when it's ready to go. So
our guest is Lindsay O'Rourke. She's the co-owner and winemaker at Tightrope Winery. Lindsay, what can people do? Can they come by the winery and visit you? And what happens when they go there? What can they do?
Yeah, so we are open 7 days a week right now, 11 to 5 most days. We recommend reservations. Mm-hmm. That just lets us know how many people are going to be in, and it gives everyone sort of a personalized experience.
Yeah.
That was one of the nice things about COVID was starting the reservation systems. Everyone's experience is better. We have two tastings. We have a portfolio tasting, which is sort of your, one that people might be used to that come in and, taste 3-4 wines and hear the story. And then we also have an estate tasting where either myself, Colin, our manager, or Andrea, our wine shop manager, will take people through a tour of the winery, the vineyards, and get into a little bit more in-depth about Tightrope. So those are those two experiences.
Okay, just before we go, I know you have a winemaker's dinner coming up on September 8th.
That's correct. Yeah.
And so there's information on that online, or how could people get involved in that?
That will be up on the website for people to purchase. It will be in the vineyard. Graham and I will both be there to lead people through tasting wines and answer any questions.
Wow.
And it's just a lovely night, actually, out in the vineyard.
Don't miss that, folks.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Lindsay, great to see you. Thanks for bringing these two delicious wines.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Lindsay O'Rourke, owner and winemaker of Tightrope Winery. We're coming to you from Three Sisters Winery. Up next is Garen Elms. He's the winemaker at Lake Breeze Vineyard. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Our On Location today is presented in part by the Naramata Bench Wineries Association.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated conference and event center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Krebda, the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, do you have any suggestions on what to check off your bucket list before summer ends?
I do, Anthony. I would suggest you experience a show at Thunderbird Show Park. Tickets are value-priced. It's one of North America's premier equestrian facilities, hosting 9 weeks of globally recognized hunter and jumper tournaments per year.
Well, that's interesting. And if watching the equestrian events inspires you, can you ride horses in Langley?
Yes, you definitely can. There's several companies in South Langley that offer trail rides on the many trails within our local parks. Some trails are even dedicated as horse and rider only.
All right, what else would be on your summer bucket list?
I think summer isn't complete without some ice cream. Fort Langley has a variety of shops, and you can wander down to the Fraser River to enjoy. Many of our local farms serve great options, and I recommend trying some goat milk gelato at Milner Valley Farms. And while you're there, you can say hello to their herd of very cute goats.
Well, that's unique. So we have horses and ice cream so far.
Yes, and on the theme of cute animals, two other spots come to mind. Many people are not aware that the incredible conservation and education work that the Greater Vancouver Zoo does. And then just down the street, you have the opportunity to see alpacas at Kensington Prairie Farm, and you can book a tour or the unique opportunity to walk an alpaca.
And Langley has such a variety of local farm options.
We really do. Try visiting a local berry farm. You have the option for U-pick or to grab flats that are ready to go.
And all these details will be on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. I'll talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location in support of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on the road again. Today we're on location at Three Sisters Winery. Our guest is Garen Elms. He's just up the road. He's the winemaker at Lake Breeze Vineyards. Garen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're one of the youngest, oldest guys I know in the wine business here. I'm sure I met you the first day you arrived, or pretty close to it. It's been a while.
Probably. Yeah, this year's 29 years now.
29.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd make 29 years here?
When I first got off the plane, I didn't think I'd be here for more than five.
So you fell in love with the bench, maybe?
Well, there's worse places to live and work than Naramata, so yeah. I just pretty much never went back again.
Yeah. Good for you. And Lake Breeze has evolved a lot over those 29 years. Tell us a little bit about the journey and what's happening now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is a little bit crazy. I mean, we started out making, I think, around 1,000 cases, all from our own fruit, and then selling some stuff. And then we've had a few changes in ownership over the years. And when the current guys, the McIntyres, took over, we decided we wanted to expand. So, you know, we used up all our fruit, and then we started buying fruit from other vineyards to expand our production. And then the natural progression from that was to start leasing properties in addition to our own, to the point where we're now farming 70 acres, and we use what fruit we need.
You're self-sufficient.
Yeah, exactly. And whatever's left over, we can sell.
Yeah. But then there's the chickens and the pigs.
Oh yeah, the chickens,
the farm. What's going on there?
We're all pretty excited. It's actually opening day was supposed to be yesterday, but we had a couple of glitches, so it's actually tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's a piece of property that we bought, I think 6 or 7 years ago, and the original plan was actually to build a new restaurant up there. But after a bit of soul searching, we decided that there's no way we can recreate the atmosphere that we already have at our restaurant in a new building. So we wanted to do something with that. So the initial plan was just to fence it off and plant some produce. And and supply the produce for our restaurant.
Yeah.
And then that kind of evolved into becoming a huge project where we're now raising our own pigs, we're raising our own chickens.
Yeah.
We use the charcuterie and the eggs and stuff as much as possible in the restaurant.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and selling eggs and excess produce. And like I said, we have a coffee shop up there now, which is going to be opening up starting tomorrow. So,
wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's
all good.
Beautiful spot for people just to walk around and kind of smell the flowers and look at the pigs and check out the chickens. And yeah.
Well, it's part of the Naramata scene.
Yeah, well, we hope so. We hope it's going to be popular. There's games. We got like a big chessboard and stuff for the kids to play, and we've got a horseshoe court going in and stuff. And,
right on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about these two wines. You brought a very intriguing wine. Your Pinot Blanc. You don't see a lot of Pinot Blanc in BC, but it looks like people have really learned how to make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always actually been one of my favorite wines. When I first came to Canada, I had never worked with Pinot Blanc in my life, so I was pretty impressed. Just with a straightforward fruit that we got out of there, and still managing to maintain that acidity, which obviously coming from South Africa is a different kettle of fish, right?
So juicy.
Yeah, so this, I always just describe this as fruit salad, right?
Yeah.
Like lots of green apple, but a tropical in there, a little bit of citrus rind. And then the key is the acidity and balancing that acidity. Mm. And 2022, I think, was probably, reds too, but for whites particular, I think it was probably the best vintage that we've had in the last 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It started out doom and gloom, right? We all thought, oh, woe is us, right? Because spring was so bad, and then June and July were bad. But yeah, October was a gift from the gods. And
yeah, well, I've been enjoying a lot of 22 rosé, so I've just been starting to explore the whites. This is delicious. I'm really happy to hear that you think is such a great vintage.
Yeah, like I said, particularly for whites, we just had the slow start just gave us all that hang time that we needed without excess alcohol, without acids dropping out. So, full on flavor development and perfect balance.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Syrah. I'm very worried about Syrah. Of course, it's taken quite a hit over winter, last winter, sort of valley-wide, even over in the Similkameen. And I'm hoping that we don't lose it all. But in any event, we have your 2020 in front of us. Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, so this is fruit from a little vineyard, which is probably, I don't know, 3 kilometers to the south of us towards Penticton. We started out making this wine around 4 years ago, just with a tiny crop that we made specifically for our wine club, and then we loved the fruit so much that we just kept making it. This is a wine that just won a platinum medal at the Lieutenant Governor's Awards, which we're pretty happy with.
Yeah, another juicy style Syrah with pepper, and it's very young. It feels like it's got 10 years of age in it with no problem at all.
I would think so, if not more than that.
Yeah,
and it has a little bit of a floral hint, which is pretty typical from Syrah around here. And then the palate is almost a little bit meaty, and
it's very Rhone-y. Well, if I can say
word. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I think it's very northern Rhone-y, and I like that. The patio, the restaurant is open and busy. When can people go? What are the hours? How is that all working?
Yeah, so patio, unfortunately, due to lack of staff, does have to close one day a week.
Yeah.
So we are closed on Wednesdays, but every other week, every other day, we're open 11:30 to 3:30.
Yeah.
It's been just as busy as it usually,
it always has been.
We got rid of our reservation system, which we had in place during COVID, but nobody ever liked. We've always been kind of first come, first serve place, and we're quite happy to be going back to that.
And what about the wine experience? Can you have the wine experience, on site as well?
We've moved a lot of our tastings. We actually moved outside. I don't know if you remember where our courtyard is. So. Hired a lot of extra staff, so we don't just have people kind of lined up at a bar counter, so people can wander around.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, so we think we've elevated the experience a little bit.
Yeah.
So there were some positives that came out of the last 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, well. And, of course, people can order the wines online. And actually, the wines are fairly well distributed across British Columbia and Alberta, I would imagine.
Yeah. The one exception to that would probably be the Syrah that we're tasting today.
Yeah.
But it is out in the marketplace in a limited quantity. But if you want it, really, it's we've held most of it back at the winery.
Yeah. Well, we've been tasting the 2022 Pinot Blanc and the 2020 Syrah, both of them looking quite brilliant already in their very youthful age. Really good to see you. I thought, did you come off your sailboat, or what have you been doing?
No, I've been farming today.
You've been farming today.
I do it sometimes. Yeah. I try to sail more than I farm, today had to be done. So.
You might have to take a pig with you out on the sailboat, like they do
once,
in the movies.
Once they get past a certain size, you don't want to be taking them anywhere. They're pretty cute now, but once they get to 150 pounds, they're not quite as cute.
They're not quite as cute. Oh, that's so good. Garen, thanks so much. Great to catch up with you.
Yeah, no
problem.
Good
to see you.
Again, thanks for having me.
Garen Elms, he's the winemaker at Lake Breeze Vineyards, and we're coming to you from Three Sisters Winery. Hey, our show's on BNN Bloomberg Radio, 1410 in downtown Vancouver, and it's available on the radio or on demand across all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
More to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Our On Location today is presented in part by the Naramata Bench Wineries Association.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santa Rita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
Penticton, an incredible place for a romantic escape this summer. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and sample the newest releases. Dine out and experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants too. After dinner, take a stroll along one of the beaches and enjoy the lake views. It's the ideal destination for a summer getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after 4 decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine, so why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location in support of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across British Columbia on the BC Food and Wine Radio network. We're coming to you from Three Sisters Winery. Right on the edge, the entrance to the Naramata Bench, our guests are Colin Ross and BJ Tumanet, board members of the Naramata Bench Association. We're talking about all things Naramata Bench. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Let's start with touring. I thought we would start there because there's many different, of course, you can make your own tour. You can take a tour. What are some of the things that people could do that on this bench that maybe they don't know about?
Okay. Yeah, I can take that one. So if you're an outdoor lover, there are so many choices that, you can take. So we don't have just one lake. We have two lakes.
Oh.
I know. I know. We like to over-deliver. We like to over-deliver. And the great thing about visiting us is that you can travel light. So if you would like to paddleboard, you can rent paddleboards here. If you'd like to rent an e-bike, we have that here. And then you can do your own tour, mm-hmm. and your own self-guided tour. We have mountains and hiking and biking. We have the Caviar Trail. So you can actually walk to different wineries if you're going on a tour. If you'd like to bring some wine with you, you can always take it to one of the beautiful golf courses in the area.
You can grab a can of wine.
You can. You
at
heard
many
the news.
Wineries.
You
yeah.
heard the news. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So there are the traditional tours, of course, right?
Yeah.
And so they take such good care of you. They'll pick you up. They'll drive you from one destination to the other. They'll put the itinerary together for you.
Yeah.
But if you're one of the adventurous types, like I like to think I am, I like to hop on my bike. I have two bags on my bike, and I'm ready to go.
I'll be looking for you on the road.
Well,
I like that. And Colin, what about, I guess there are many different experiences too for people that go to wineries. It's everyone is different. That's what I like about touring wineries. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
For sure, yeah. I mean, most of the wineries now are open 7 days a week, sort of 11 to 5-ish.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can, I think everything starts from a sort of a simple tasting of maybe just a few wines to more thorough experiences where you will tour the vineyard, maybe the barrel room and the winemaking facility and get to meet the winemaker and really learn the details about what that winery is all about.
Yeah. Okay, I can ask it because, you know, it's my show in some ways. So just tell us about maybe at Tightrope what happens when we go there.
Yeah, so we have two different experiences. There's a portfolio tasting, which you taste five wines, and that's in the wine shop or on the crush pad.
Yeah.
And then we have an estate tasting and tour. That's a bit longer, roughly an hour. You'll go around with one of our sommeliers, go into the vineyard, sort of see the different grape varieties that we grow there.
Yeah.
Spend some time in the barrel room, maybe taste a bit of wine out of a barrel, see the tanks and all that. And then you get a little Riedel wine glass as a souvenir on the
nice.
Way home.
And BJ, your winery, Joie Farm, is really renowned for the way it entertains people or lets them entertain themselves, maybe.
Are we?
Yes, you are.
So at Joie, we like to focus on customizing the experience for the customer because mm-hmm. we realize that the people coming to the tasting room will come with different levels of experience, different levels of expectation. And so we'll chat, we'll get to know you a little bit. And as we go along, we'll customize the experience for you and for your group.
Mm, I like that. Read the customer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Know your audience.
Okay. Well, you're members of the Naramata Bench Association. So as a group, what are some of the things that people will be able to look forward to? Do you get together as a group and put on events? And how does that work?
Yeah, we definitely get together and put on events. So we do Taste Passport weekends where people can purchase a passport tasting where they'll go, can choose then five or six wineries to visit on those days. So that's lots of fun. We put on group dinners. Where we all get together and then we'll host a dinner. And again, if you have a ticket to the dinner, you get to taste all the wines and then they'll be paired with the dinner as we go. This fall we'll be down in Vancouver to do a fall tasting.
Oh, great.
So yeah, always lots going on for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're just standing, we know we're looking out at the bench right now, and it, in some ways and in some parts, it reminds me a lot of Italy because it's small. You can see the farms. It's not all grapes. There's other things going on. It's really it's a great model, I think, for some regions that could copy this model because there's so much to do, it's the diversity that makes it, I think.
I think the uniqueness just geographically of the Naramata Bench, I don't think any of us can take credit for, but we're doing a really, really good job, I think, making the most out of it. So the Naramata Bench, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's about 10 kilometers, maybe.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, about 10 kilometers. And if you do the math, which I won't, but if we're looking at about 50 different wineries, breweries, distilleries,
mm-hmm.
cideries, then you can do the math and you can see that you can't take a couple of steps before seeing another business,
yeah.
right? And another tasting room, another experience, right?
Yeah.
So if you're looking for variety, I really suggest that you come visit us at the Naramata Bench. I could be a little bit biased, but I think that we have something here for everyone. We won't disappoint.
No, I'm sure you won't. I just think there is so much available. We touched earlier, but maybe we could talk a bit more about what's coming, what's growing here in the valley, and how has it changed much since you've been here in terms of what's in the ground?
Yeah, I mean, so the wineries on the bench bottle over 50 different grape varieties.
Wow.
So that's a tremendous amount.
That's good diversity.
It certainly is. And while we are, I think, in general, specializing a bit more in things like Pinot Gris, Riesling, maybe some Sauvignon Blanc, Syrah, Cab Franc, and Pinot Noir, we're also introducing new things. Like just, I think, a year or two ago, someone planted some Menthea. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's lots of... While we are specializing more, we're also diversifying more. So there's
yeah.
always something new and interesting around the corner.
I don't know if you're prepared for this, but is there a hidden spot or two that we should know about on the Naramata Bench? Some place we can just disappear and take in the area?
Are you wanting me to give away all of our secrets?
Well, just one would be good.
So just one. You know what? I would head to the village.
Yeah.
I think the village itself is a hidden gem.
Yeah.
I think that when people come wine touring, because there are so many tasting rooms on the bench, that you may not always get all the way to the village.
To the end, yeah.
Right. You may not always get to the village. So you do have the option from starting at the village or even north of the village and
yes.
then moving your way down. Both are excellent. Both you're going to have amazing experiences. But the village, I would say, is a real surprise to people, especially if you haven't been there before. It
yeah.
is truly a village. That charm that I was talking about before is just oozing with that. You can walk around your flip-flops and your tank top and your shorts and fit in everywhere.
And look like a villager.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You'll fit right in.
And even right in the village, there's a short, really short walk to a beautiful waterfall,
yes.
which is
oh.
easily accessible by almost anyone. So
okay.
That's another magical thing that you can
see?
Do.
Well,
is.
That's what I was
yeah.
looking for.
It is.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So the place is called Creek Park,
mm-hmm.
and I was just there on Friday with my flip-flops and my tank top and my shorts,
yeah.
and it feels like you've been transported into a different place. So yeah, good call.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
one of our gems for sure.
Well, it sounds like a place I could take a can of wine to.
Yes,
yeah.
Highly recommend.
We had a fantastic meal last night at the Naramata Inn. New chef there from people may know him from Bishop's, but it was just exquisite. And everything was perfect outside, the temperature, the food, and it was very busy too, which I was happy to see on a Tuesday night. So things are happening all along the bench. People got to get out here and check it out. And I think that's a great thing is to drive to the end of the bench and work your way back. Set up your tour so that you finish back somewhere near your accommodation or walk or cycle, even better.
That's right.
Well, and there's also there's the Naramata Trolley Company, too, which operates like a hop-on, hop-off
yep.
Service around here, too. So
yeah. So naramatabench.com, people can go there and get information on all of the things we've been talking about and to keep up to date on future events.
Absolutely, yeah. All the events are posted there for each winery and the area in general. So
yeah. Thanks so much for joining us today on the show. Real pleasure to talk to you both.
Our pleasure.
Thanks
yeah,
for having us.
Good luck with the season. It looks like it's off to a good start if the weather keeps up like this.
I looked at the forecast. It's nothing but sunshine.
Looks promising.
All right. That's it for today's show. Special thanks to our host, Three Sisters Winery, our production team, including on-site producer Mike Whittingham, our studio producer, Dwayne Bishop in Vancouver, assignment producer, Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. All broadcasts are available weekly on the radio or on demand across all the major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google, and Apple. I'm Anthony Gismondi. For all of us at the show, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Our On Location today was presented in part by the Naramata Bench Wineries Association.